Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty. This is my second channel where I talk about business and marketing and entrepreneurship and personal development, all that kind of stuff that's not really a fit for my main channel. Today, I wanted to follow up on my video from last week, which rustled a few jimmies by giving you another unpopular opinion: why people need to shut up about Spotify, stop crying about Spotify, and the whole idea that they're somehow screwing artists or not paying artists what they deserve. People just will not let this idea go. There is an amazing amount of like entitlement in the music industry about Spotify. And so in this video, I want to explain why I think that that's very misguided and illustrate some kind of larger concepts about kind of how the business world works so that you can understand that what's happening here is actually not at all unusual and it makes perfect sense. And also, if you haven't signed up for my newsletter yet, there's a link to that in the description. I send out a weekly email with a link to any content I put out this week. Check that out at the link in the description. So first of all, I just kind of want to start at the high level that I think people are thinking about Spotify in completely the wrong way. Musicians are very like myopically focused on how they can use Spotify to make money, which obviously like that is an important part of Spotify, but it's not the only part of Spotify. And I would argue that it's not even the most important aspect of Spotify for musicians. There are two things that they can do for you. Number one is revenue. They can help you make money. Number two is discovery. They can help you grow your audience, reach new people, get more listens from the people who do know who you are. And I would argue that the discovery part for small artists is way more valuable than the revenue part. Because remember, like, it kind of doesn't matter what their royalty rate is when nobody is listening to your band. Zero times anything is still zero. In my opinion, small artists or small businesses of any kind should be focusing on growth more than anything else. Build that platform up until you get to a certain level, then you can maybe focus on monetizing it more. But until you've gotten to that level of like, I don't know, for an artist, let's say 100,000 monthly listeners or something on Spotify, I think that's gotta be your first priority. And the fact of the matter is that when it comes to discovery, Spotify is better than any other platform on the planet has ever been. Like, it is the best music discovery tool that there ever was, period. Number one, they have their curated playlists. For example, like Rap Caviar. Like, if you get on Rap Caviar, that could like make your whole career. Or the ones created by users. Like, I have, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 Spotify playlists, which have between like 2 and 8,000 followers, which is not a ton. But for a small artist that's trying to get discovered, getting on one of my playlists that has like 7,000 listeners, that could be the thing that kind of gets them that initial thing that snowballs and turns into a bigger career. And also the algorithm. This is a big one. So people have this, I think, kind of correct idea that when it comes to playlists, there's these gatekeepers that you have to get through. You know, there's the whole process of submitting your song to the editors to be reviewed to get put on a playlist, which 99.9% of the time it'll never end up on one. But their discovery algorithm is the answer to that. For example, like the Discover Weekly, or if you look at like the daily mixes, it's crazy how good their algorithm is. It knows that there's a difference between like Madball and A Have Heart. It knows that there's a difference between like Born of Osiris and A Mirror. If you get plugged into that, that could give your band like thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of new monthly listeners. So I would ask, what is more valuable to you? An extra $50 a month in royalties or 20,000 new people listening to your music? So to kind of compare all the different platforms, I think you can rank them on those two different dimensions, on either revenue or discovery. For example, I think Spotify is amazing at discovery and it's okay at revenue. Like, you know, you can make some money there. On the other hand, Bandcamp is amazing for revenue because you sell something for 10 bucks and you get to keep, what, 7 or 8 of that? Like, if you just want to make money, Bandcamp is the way to go. However, it sucks at discovery because Bandcamp is kind of deliberately a small company that doesn't want to be big and sucks at technology. They're like the music platform equivalent of one of those hipster cassette-only labels. And remember, you can put your music on all of these platforms, and you should, and use them for what they're good at. Like, Aaron from Intervals is good at this. He spends money on Facebook ads driving people directly to Bandcamp because that's where he makes most of his money. But then he's also working on the Spotify stuff to kind of do the best to take advantage of that algorithm and grow his audience. These things, it's not either or, it's both and. Discovery is important, revenue is also important. You can't expect any one platform to just hand you success on a silver platter to like grow your audience and hand you money hand over fist, right? Like, that's not the way the world works. And remember, this emphasis on revenue is a new thing because it just wasn't even a possibility before. Remember, everybody talks about how much they loved MySpace and Pure Volume. They didn't pay you shit, or MP3.com. People loved those because they were good at discovery. Well, guess what? Spotify is even better at discovery than those platforms, and there's also a bigger revenue opportunity there.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
So to borrow the idea of revealed preference from economics, everybody complains about Spotify and acts like it's such a terrible, awful platform for artists, and yet they're all on Spotify. So if they really thought Spotify was so terrible, if they really thought they were better off without their music on Spotify, it wouldn't be on there. For example, like Taylor Swift wasn't on there until 2 years ago or whatever, because she really truly thought she was better off without Spotify. So just to sum all of that up, point number one is musicians are thinking about Spotify completely wrong. They're myopically focused on royalties, on revenue. What they should be thinking about is growth. And Spotify is an amazing platform for that. The second point that I want to make is that this is normal. Like, this is how business works. Music is not special. Spotify does not behave differently than any other business. This is normal. Like, this is the way the world of business works. I think a lot of musicians, because they just lack experience in business, they don't understand that. So they feel like that this is some sort of particularly like awful situation that they're caught in that nobody else is in. Like, oh, we're the little guy getting screwed. Well, guess what? This is the nature of any business in which the distributor has way more leverage than the suppliers do. For example, let's look at Walmart and Amazon. If you want to sell shit, Walmart is the largest brick and mortar retailer. Amazon is the largest e-commerce retailer. And if you want to sell shit at Walmart or on Amazon, you're going to play by their rules. And guess what? Their rules are usually not very nice. People do not like dealing with Walmart and Amazon because they have all the leverage. They control the distribution channel. They control the relationship with the people, with the consumers, the people who actually buy the product. They are not nice to their suppliers. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's business. For example, let's say Procter & Gamble, you know, they make Tide and Febreze and Swiffer and a lot of other stuff I used to work on. So I know this from talking to the people at P&G. If Walmart decides that Tide is too expensive and that every bottle of Tide should be 50 cents cheaper, because they are by far and away Procter & Gamble's number one distribution channel, they're gonna go to P&G and say, you guys need to make this bottle of Tide cheaper, and P&G kind of doesn't really have any choice but to do it. Walmart kind of holds all the cards because without that distribution channel, P&G can't sell Tide. And it's the same with Amazon. You know, if you sell, I don't know, phone cases or something like that, you are just one of 9 million other phone case suppliers, and so you're gonna follow Amazon's rules or they're gonna kick you out of their store. And they don't really care if you leave because there's 9 million other phone case suppliers that are more than happy to take your spot. And if that sounds kind of shitty, well, it is. Like I said, all the suppliers hate this. Like, everybody who sells on Amazon and Walmart thinks they're dicks, but they kind of have no choice but to play ball because Amazon and Walmart have all the leverage, and so nobody can really push back. Unless you are one of the people that has a product that's just so good, that's so exceptional, that people demand so much that you can kind of have the leverage to negotiate because they have to have your product if you are Nike or Apple or something like that. And even then, I think Amazon is probably gonna tell you tough shit because that is how much power they have. And by now you're probably starting to kind of connect the dots and go, oh, this sounds a lot like the music industry. And it is. There's this kind of classic business school like strategy model here called the five forces model that actually describes both of these situations very well, like the retail landscape and the music industry landscape. So there are five forces that kind of govern the competitive dynamics and profitability of any industry. Supplier power, which is if you are a musician or if you make Tide, how much power do you have to negotiate with the distributors? There is buyer power, which is the opposite of that. So those two things kind of fight each other. And in this case, there's a lot of buyer power and not that much supplier power. And then on the other axis, you have the threat of new entrants. In other words, like how many competitive new products may come into this industry. And in the case of music, the threat of new entrants is super high because there's new music being made all the time, right? And the other force is the threat of substitutions, which means what other things could take the place of the product that you're selling. In the case of music, that is any other thing that you might use for entertainment, like podcasts, Netflix, video games, TikTok, whatever. Again, that's super high in this case. And so all of that comes together in the middle here, which is the degree of competitive rivalry. And the higher the competitive rivalry is, the lower the profitability will be for any individual selling something in this industry. And so if you look at it through this lens, it's pretty obvious why the music industry is the way it is. And I'm not saying like, shut up and accept it. I'm not saying you have to like it. It's totally understandable to be frustrated by that. I'm just saying that like, whining about it does not do any good. And it kind of makes you look unsophisticated because like I said, this is not unique to music by any means. This is a very common dynamic in tons and tons of industries. So it just kind of makes you look like you don't understand business. So instead of complaining about how fucked up it is and how frustrating it is, what you need to do is just make a plan. Start with where you want to be and work backwards from there. Like figure out how much money you want to make in a year or in a month or whatever from music or any other product and work backward from there. How are you going to use Spotify as part of this? How will you use Bandcamp as part of this? What role is like Patreon or merch going to play in all this? You make a plan and you work towards it and use each one of these platforms for what they're good at and understand that none of them, like nobody is going to come along and just hand you success on a silver platter. Like, here you go. Here's a million fans and $1 million. That's just not how life works. That's not how business works. And the sooner you just kind of come to terms with that and understand that it's on you to forge your own path, the quicker you're going to get there. All right, my friends, that does it for this video. I know this one may ruffle a few feathers, but it had to be said. I'm tired of people complaining about this. It drives me nuts. All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians, talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.